Father, I thank you, Lord, for thy word is like a hammer. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's also a fire in our bones right now, Lord, to get this call, this clarion call out, a call for prayer. Glory to God. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, as it is written, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be. Even as we stand in the message of the Lord today, Lord, gather, oh God, the strong ones to battle in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning and good afternoon. We're talking today on making up the hedge and standing in the gap, a call to prayer. And this is one of the reasons why we need the prophetic gift in the church. We've been talking about, this series, that we are in, and we're going to continue it, but not exactly in that fashion today, but it's still part of it. You know, the role that will play in the church is to foresee the evil. Praise the Lord. You know, and when God shows the evil ahead of time, he gives us, you know, an advantage over the sneaky attempts of the devil to come in and do evil. And when we see that the devil is coming in and doing evil, we are taking us unawares, then we got to pray even more. There's a story in Acts chapter 12, the book of Acts chapter 12. We see that the book opens up by telling us that Herod, was the Roman, installed, ruler or governor at the time would, you wanted to vex certain of the church. So we see that the enemy is wanting to vex certain of the church at this time. We've been hearing lately of people being involved in accident and this and this, and we have to do something, about that. Praise the Lord. So what will happen is, if we don't pray, then the Lord will not be happy, but the devil will have an advantage. But we also need something that can give us a little bit of an advantage, and that's when the Lord can show us evil that devil plans. So these gifts are important in the church. But let me read this to you first. See, at that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. That's Acts chapter 12. That's how that chapter opens up. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And he did. And then the rest of the story goes as it went. But the thing was this, that the thing he did with James possibly took the church unawares. And then all the negative people were happy. They killed one of the apostles. So he laid his hand upon Peter also. And he put him in prison, supposing to bring him out, in a few days and kill him before the people, just like the other one, so that everybody will rejoice at the death of these followers of Christ. But the church got a wind of it, and they got to praying. Now, there's a huge lesson that we see here, that the prayers that were being offered in the up for Peter delivered him out of that situation. Perhaps if prayer had been offered up for James, like it was for Peter, maybe he would have been delivered from that situation. But I think the church was unawares because it happened quickly. Well, we don't want to be unawares of anything. We need our antennas up. We need our eyes to be open. We need to foresee evil, and so forth. Now, the Lord will not show us everything, but the Lord can show us a lot of things. And if he, even when he doesn't show us, we can still pray. You know, we don't need to pray only when we see something. You know, that would be a trick of the devil too. Whether we see or don't see, we know the devil is all, 1 Peter 5 and 8 already gives us, you know, guidance on that. He said, look, we've got to be watchful and prayerful all the time. You know, knowing that your adversary, the devil, is always going around looking for, you know, as a roaring lion, looking for whom he might devour. You know, I mean, it's always on a prowl, you know, but we must be sober. We must be vigilant, you know, vigilant. Now, what does being vigilant mean? Well, you know, first of all, you got to be aware that there might be, you know, circumstances or evil around you. Because if you don't, if you're not aware, I mean, you just be going around and so forth. You know, you have to keep careful watch for possible danger. It's how the dictionary defines vigilance. Keep careful watch. Be vigilant. You know, be aware of your surroundings and, you know, the things that the devil may do and so forth. Whether we physically or spiritually see the danger or not, we need to be more aware of the danger that, you know, even just going around your normal business, you know, you can, there's a lot of evil that the enemy can bring, you know. So we want to address that a little bit today. Now, if we are going forward without an awareness of a trap or possible evil, then you may likely fall into it. Now, if we pray, I mean, now one thing, if God shows it ahead and we pray about it and pray against it, we're more likely to get that thing averted before it happens. Moreover, even if God doesn't show it, you know, but we are much more prayerful, being cognizant of the fact that the devil is always on the prowl, and we are praying and holding each other up in prayers and so forth, you know, we may likely escape more things, you know. And God particularly has certain folks that are called watchers, you know, and alerters, and, you know, watchmen on the wall. And he has those people like that, but he has, you know, but it's a role for all of us, actually. You know, one man, one time, I mean, a loud mouth, you know, I think it was the son of the devil, really, you know, said to the Lord, am I my brother's keeper? You know, but God, you know, and Jesus called him later. He said he was of that wicked one. Okay. Was of that wicked one. You know, it's a loud mouth. You know, and he said, am I, he killed his brother, and also, you know, loud mouth to the Lord, am I my brother's keeper? You are your brother's keeper, and you are your sister's keeper, and we must be our brother's keeper, you know, and we must be our sister's keeper. That's right. So that's what today's lesson is going to be about. We want to talk about watchmen on the wall. We want to talk about, you know, making up the gap and the hedge and so forth. What does that all mean? You know, in the book, you know, there are two verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3 that says, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. You know, but a simple person and are punished. Now, Proverbs chapter, that's Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Then we see that Proverbs 27 and verse 12 says exactly the same thing. Now, when God repeats things in the scriptures, it means they're really, really very important. You know, so take these two verses taken together, telling us the same thing. You know, how can we be prudent in the spirit? How can we foresee evil? Well, you know, we need seers. You know, the last few lessons we've been saying, some people might think we're actually against that. Not at all. You know, we're just calling out the evil, but there is never any evil. There's no counterfeit without a genuine article first. You can't counterfeit a dollar without the genuine one. You can't make a counterfeit coin without first the genuine. For, you know, it's the Lord that starts things out, and then the devil tries to foul them up. That's always the way it is. So when we see bad things, or we see the gifts of God turn, you know, foul, and we cry, foul play, foul play. Well, you got to also look, there is the real deal. There's always the real deal. And so we're going to be talking about that as we continue our series. But today, this is a call to prayer. And also a call for us to recognize that we need that real deal. And the real deal is for the Lord to show us and to give us, you know, an advantage, you know, over the enemy. When the enemy is planning something, there's a man called Elisha, you know, when Syria would be planning things against Israel, you know, whatever they were planning, Elisha would tell the king of Israel. And then they would, you know, they would just escape. And even though Elisha wasn't there, whatever Syria was planning on their, in their camp, you know, the Lord was showing it to Elisha, and he would be revealing those secrets. Hallelujah. Well, we have with us also today, you know, what we call the numberer of secrets, the revealer even of the hearts and intents of the and thoughts of hearts, called the Parmoni. We have him with us today, and he can reveal these things. The eye of the eagle can see it all. The Lord sees everything. There's nothing, you know. He says, look, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. You know, we're going to invoke that today. I want us to learn this, you know, this verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. I want us to learn this verse, and I'm going to talk about it in a bit. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose hearts are perfect towards him. You know, now, the Lord's eyes, who are they really? Well, they are the alerters and the watchers, you know, that God has put in charge. You know, he has given his angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways. They are the eyes of the Lord. It's not like the Lord needs to learn anything. The Lord doesn't need to go move here and there. You know, but these eyes of the Lord, you know, these cherubims, seraphims, alatas, angelic forces and beings that God has put in charge of things, they go forth and they come back. We see their role sometimes, you know, like we see in the book of, you know, Zechariah. I mean, they went out there, they came back, you know, chapter one, he said, look, what is it? You know, they went, you know, said, well, in verse 11, he said, well, we've gone to and fro throughout the earth, and we are reporting that the earth is still and is at rest. So they have their responsibilities in their realm. You know, these are the eyes of the Lord. Now, don't you ever think that the Lord needs to move here and there in order to know anything? No. But he has these ones, you know, they are like delegates. God had delegated things. He delegated some angels to report things. They came back and reported to the Lord that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah has come to the brink, you know. And the Lord said, look, I've heard these things, you know, been reported to me. I'm going to go check it out. You know, so they have their, you know, responsibilities. And we have our responsibilities as well. And the Lord, you know, talking to even people who are supposed to be in that role, you know, he called them out. And I want to read to you some of the things that, you know, he called out that he didn't like. You know, he said, look, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 3-5, there was a rebuke from the Lord against prophets that do not stand in the gap or make up the hedge for God's people in the day of battle, but instead they prey on God's people. You know, but what should they really be doing? You know, what is they really be doing? Well, let's talk about what does a gap mean and what is a hedge? you know, because the Lord, he said, look, I am against the prophets that do not stand in the gap, nor make up the hedge for the people of God in the day of battle, but instead you pray on my people. Yeah, so, well, if that's what the Lord is against, then what is it that making up the hedge means, or standing in the gap? You know, well, a hedge is a fence, a boundary, a border, you know. The hedge is like a force field, I say, you know, and it's held in place by, you know, the fervent effectual prayer for the body of Christ. That's how it's held in place. It's a force field. That's my own definition. But it's a usually a fence or a boundary or a border of some kind, you know. Now, but what is a gap? Well, a gap is then an opening or break or crack in that hedge. You know, so the Lord is saying, look, we need a hedge. And when the gap is broken, we need someone to make up the gap and close the gap, you know, close the gap, close the breaches and so forth. And this is what real prophets should be doing. You know, but God said, look, most of the time you are praying on my people, and he wasn't happy about it. And there was a rebuke from the Lord. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8, you know, we're giving a synopsis of what happens when there's a gap in a hedge. So that verse brings it together. You know, he said, look, when the hedge is broken, see, that means there's a gap in the hedge, then the serpent can strike. You know, the serpent is like this viper. He's coiled up like that. You know, you can see how these vipers are coiled up like that. You know, and they got, they're ready, the fang and everything ready. They're coiled up like that, looking for a place to strike. But when he strikes against that force field, it's going to hit a brick wall when there is no gap. Okay? So, he can't penetrate. But so he'll be looking. That's why the devil is going around as a prowler, looking for where there is a broken gap in the hedge. And I'm looking. Now, there could be individual hedges around us. We saw that in the story of Job. You know, Satan came and told God, well, you built a hedge around him. Okay? There can be individual hedges. The angel of the Lord encamps around the people of God, you know, and we're told in Psalm 34 and verse 7, makes up a hedge, you know, for the people of God. The angel of the Lord, he does. And it's really the people that fear the Lord that the angel of the Lord encamps around. When he encamps around them like that, you know, it's like a hedge, a protect them, you know, but you know, there are some things that can break that hedge. You know, disobedience, number one, you know, can break that hedge. Prayerlessness can break that hedge. Unforgiveness, all these things. We've talked about many of these things in the past. It can break the hedge. But we can also make up the hedge around someone else. We can make up the hedge around the people of God. You know, there are also ministerial gifts and roles that God calls for these kind of things. They're called intercessors at times. Sometimes we refer to them as prayer warriors. Well, intercessors. You know, they're the ones that stand. They should be standing in the gap. They should be making up the hedge. You know, and the real spirit of prophecy in the church, you know, we'll talk more about that later, you know, can bring out, you know, some of those things. And these are things we should desire or pray for. Not to peep into other people's matters. You know, that's of no, you know, business to anybody. A busybody. There are busybodies in the spiritual realm as well. I called that out briefly, I think yesterday or the other day. Busybodies in spiritual matters. Trying to peep and mutter into things that doesn't concern them. We don't need that in the church. But we need the real gift of God. You know, that can show and expose, you know, the plans of the enemy. So things don't take us by surprise. You know, we don't want to be hearing that, you know, one of us is in an accident and this and that and so forth like that. You know, we need to be praying against these things, And we got to have this, call it sixth sense, call it anything you want, but we got to have that spiritual antenna, you know, before we don't want to be cleaning up and picking up the pieces. We want to be proactive, you know. So this is what God is saying. He's looking for intercessors. Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 30 to 31 says, God is looking for intercessors. Well, standing in the gap means building a prayer bridge around the people of God, around your family, around yourself, around the brothers and sisters. We got to do that. Praise the Lord. We got to do that. Hallelujah. You know, so that is what we are talking about, or will be talking about today. Let me read that to you in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. It says that, you know, and there's something that I want to call out of that verse also that is important. You know, it said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and should stand in the gap for me before the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Well, therefore, you know, have I poured out my indignation upon them and consumed them in my wrath. You know, it means even, you know, sometimes, you know, when God is angry or furious or even pour out judgment, even against the land, even in a session, can avert some of that, you know. So let nobody say, don't pray against that. You know, yeah, there's always prayer. God is always looking for it. You know, we saw in the story of Nineveh, you know, when they began to pray, Second Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, you know, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then the Lord said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land, you know, and so forth. Now, so God is looking for this thing, and the absence of it may create room for either the devil or, you know, some impending judgment, which is not removed because people are not praying and they are not foreseeing the evil. The key thing here is we must foresee the evil. You know, the prudent man, we need prudence in the spirit. We need the eyes of the spirit. We need the seeing spirit to be upon us. The seers are needed. This gift of prophecy is needed. You know, Holy Spirit guiding the church is needed, but in the right way, not in the negative way. You know, we have debunked all the negative stuff. Now we need the right stuff. Praise God. You know, we need the real deal. Hallelujah. You know, so, but if we don't have it, then the enemy has a field day, you know. Now, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 23, and 24, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for God's people. So, I mean, Samuel was like a prophet, you know, over the land and even the nation. And, you know, he acknowledged that it would be a sin if he didn't pray for God's people. Well, we may not be in the role of a prophet, but in your sphere of influence, it's the same thing. Jeremiah may have been called as a prophet over the nations. You are called as a prophet over your house. That's right. You know, wherever you are, you know, God, you know, when we started the prophetic series, I said, look, God called Abraham a prophet. Nobody knew he was a prophet until God said that. Yeah. Well, as far as God was concerned, he was a prophet because he's the one that heard from God things that God wanted him to do. And he moved his family in that direction. That makes him a prophet, you know. And so you have that role, you know, to hear from God for your family. And that we who are leaders, we have that role for our followers, our believers and our church and, you know, congregation as well. So we need more prayers. I need more prayers. You know, I don't want to hear these things anymore that someone is caught in an accident. Before that happens, God must reveal it. And even if God doesn't reveal it, we must pray against it, you know, in advance anyway. You know, so we need to be more prayerful, you know, and so forth. You know, Paul writing to Timothy said in, First Timothy 2, he said, look, you know, I want supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks to be made for all men, especially for the body of Christ. You know, so supplications, you know, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. It's calling for it. I mean, we need to have more of these things. You know, so, you know, after today's lesson, and I'm going to go through these scriptures quickly so that we can actually pray. We are going to actually pray. And I want to do more of this in our rooms and be more prayerful because it is important. Otherwise, you know, we don't want to be in the situation with Herod and James. We want to be, the situation is, you know, that we would rather be is either the Lord completely averse the situation even before it started, or while something is in progress, the Lord will quickly send an angel and deliver them. Either way, you know, that'll take prayer, you know, and we must be prayerful, 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 and intercede on behalf of one another. Praise the Lord. Must pray fervently for all saints. We're told that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, you know, all making all prayer for all saints. You know, we must do that. In Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, it says we should bear one another's burdens. You know, now we may or may not know everything. I mean, God doesn't reveal everything to us all the time. I read the story of you of Elisha and the woman whose son had died, and Elisha said, well, and God had hid it from me. I read that the other day. But we've got to be prayerful. If we cover the prayers the way Jesus taught us, whether we see what's coming or not, we will be all right. Because here are the things that Jesus said in his prayer. Among other things, he said, you know, that we should pray that the Lord should lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. So when we pray those things, you know, even you don't have to see anything. You know, I don't want to fall into the fallacy of you have to see something before you pray. It's good if we see, and we should see, and there are seers for that. But the rest of us, whether we see or don't see, you know, everyone is giving instruction of how to pray. You pray that the Lord will deliver us from evil. Now, if we pray more, the Lord will deliver us more. Now, God never asked us to pray about something that he wasn't intending to do. It's not like just dangling a carrot before us, and when we want to get it, he pulls it away. That's nonsense. You know, God doesn't do that. When he asks us or commands us or instructs us to pray, it is because he wants to do it. And he tells us to pray. So we need to pray more for God to deliver us from evil. You know, and Jesus himself, he was always praying for the church. In John chapter 17, we see that, you know, he prayed this prayer, you know, when he was about to leave the disciples and return to the Father. He prayed this prayer and said, Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, John 17 and 15, but that thou should keep them from the evil. So that was his prayer. And we need more of that prayer. You know, now, I know we all pray sometimes. We pray that God should bless me, do this, do this, do that, which is good. But we need to pray more specifically that God should keep us from evil. There's a lot of evil in the day, sufficient unto the day. Even more than sufficient is the evil of that day. There's a lot of evil. When you go out in the morning, there is evil waiting, you know, to make sure that, because that's what the devil does, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's evil. But then, if we can pray more, we might avert some of those evil. Now, this is not for us to be afraid of anything. God has not given us the spirit of fear. You know, we're not praying because we are afraid. We are praying because Jesus said to pray. We're not afraid. You know, I always have confidence when I pray that the Lord is taking care of it. You know, I mean, even when if I see evil or hear evil or whatever, once I pray through it, I'm confident. I am confident about it. You know, it's not that, you know, we should then cower into a corner and do nothing because we're afraid. You know, no. We pray, we get up, we move as the Holy Spirit directs. Praise the Lord. Now, but it is important for us to do more of those prayers. You know, so that's what we're going to be doing. Even James talks about praying for one another, that we should be healed when someone is sick. James 5:16 says we should pray for one another. You know, there are groanings in the spirit when we make intercession. Romans 8:26, the groanings that he's talking about there is actually for someone else. You know, intercession is generally for someone else, not for yourself. You know, yeah, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. So intercessions when you stand the gap. Now, Abraham stood in the gap one time, interceding, you know, for the Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, in the story that we read, you know, in the book of Genesis. And when God came and said, Lord, well, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? So we see that, well, Abraham was favored. Now, God told him that he was about to go and, you know, destroy, you know, the cities of the plain. And the Lord was good to him. Abraham stood there and he said, well, it's because this cry of this city of Gomorrah has come now to me. And you can read all of that in Genesis 18. The prayer of intercession, how Abraham stood there and pleaded with God. And, you know, just tried, I mean, bargaining out his way against that destruction. 50 people, 45 people, 35, 50, 30, 20, and so on. Just, you know, standing there and trying to do it. Well, that's intercessory prayer. And, you know, we need more of that, you know, for us today. I'm going through this very quickly because I want us to pray. You know, we have confidence when we pray, though. You know, we don't need to pray without confidence. When we pray with confidence, because we are praying according to the will of God. If we're praying for a brother or a sister, or praying for the body of Christ, or praying for, you know, our children or our families, well, that's already according to the will of God, because that's what God told us to do. Pray for one another. So 1 John 5:14-15 tells us that, you know, confidence that God is hearing us when we pray and that he will answer us, you know. So, you know, we don't want to be praying and then, but you have to pray through sometimes, you know. That's why, you know, we don't just say casual kind of drive through microwave kind of prayer and then move on. You know, you have to pray through for this kind of prayers. And, you know, sometimes it might require hours of prayer or pray in the night or this and that. And Jesus was doing it many times, you know. But, you know, once the Lord gives the release in the spirit, then you are confident and we can't use our mouth to say the negative thing that we, you know, are confessing the negative thing that we've already prayed against. You know, we need to put our mouth where our prayer is at. If you prayed and the Lord, we know the Lord has averted the evil, then that's it. You know, that is not even talk about it as though it's going to happen. Now, the Lord may also give, you know, cautionary steps to take. He might give instructions to go here or go there or not go there or not do this, you know. But generally, when the Lord would pray, I mean, when the Lord would reveal things, he wants us to pray. And the Lord will give us the confidence. So here are the examples of people in scriptures that stood and prayed, you know, for God to do something, you know. We already referred to Genesis chapter 18. You can read verses 17 to 33. Abraham intercedes for Sodom and for Gomorrah. You know, we can see in Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 to 19, Daniel intercedes for the people of God concerning the years of captivity in Babylon. He had read the prophecy of Jeremiah that 70 years would be, you know, accomplished in the desolation and carrying away and so forth. And he was, you know, he was a participant of that desolation, recipient of that desolation and the carrying away. And then he began to understand by the books, he said. Well, I mean, so maybe 68 and a half or something, he began to pray. Well, Lord, you know, you said 70 years. We've been here now, according to the records, 68 and something years or whatever. So we know that, you know, in the next year or so, you're supposed to deliver us. So now, therefore, have mercy upon thy people and remember thy promise and deliver us. You know, I began to pray and confess the sins of the people and so on and so forth. You know, and he even put himself in the gap. You know, he made up the hedge. He said, Lord, we have sinned. That's why this evil has come upon us. He did not separate himself from the people and say, well, those people sinned. No, he said, we have sinned. I don't think that Daniel himself was the one that committed those sins. He was a righteous and upright man. But yet, he put himself in the gap. You know, that's putting himself in the gap. You know, and making up the hedge. That's what it means. Put himself right there. He prayed, you know, as though it was his fault. And he lumped himself in the, you know, in the errors of the people and asked for God's mercy. He said, Lord, you know, this evil came upon us because you're a righteous God. We forsook your ways. We did this and that. Therefore, this evil and confusion of faces come upon us. But you are a righteous God. But you are also a merciful God. And he called upon the mercy of the Lord and began to pray. And that's intercession. Now, sometimes when we need to pray to support others, you know, it's called, you know, it's like an assist. Sometimes we need the assist. There's a story in Exodus chapter 17, verses 11 to 13. Even though it looked like it was something in the natural that happened, it was a depiction of assist in prayer. Moses had his hands up, you know, for the battle that was going on, you know, on the ground, you know, Joshua and everybody, you know, but as long as he had his hands up, you know, which also signifies, you know, lift up holy hands in prayer, they were winning. But then he got weary and his hands went down. And then there was some assistance that came from Aaron and Hur that recognized what was going on. And they came on there and one stood on one side, one stood on the other side, held up his hands, in, you know. So that's kind of like an assist in prayer. And as long as they were able to hold up the hands together, now there is a tag team now there. It's not just one person now. It's three of them now doing it. They, you know, the victory was assured. And they were gaining the victory. They returned to gaining the victory. You know, so sometimes we need to lift up our friends and our brethren in prayer. Their prayer alone may not be doing it, and they would need an assist. And so, but we have to be more sensitive in the spirit for these things. We see that, you know, God loves us to pray for others. In Job chapter 42 and verse 10, we read that it was when Job prayed for his friends that his God turned his own captivity around. Well, I said, the Lord said, well, God turned his captivity around. He found himself in, you know, captivity of a lot of negativity at that time. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, he said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. So all his life, he was afraid of these things. And sometimes he would pray for his children because he wasn't sure that they had put their, perhaps they put their hand into some evil. So every day, he prayed for those children. God, I don't know what they might have done. You know, I confess and I stand the gap on their behalf and so forth. And, you know, in his heart, you know, he was afraid that some evil would happen. Well, we should not nurture the thought of evil in our heart. It's a dangerous, you know, slippery slope. He nurtured that thought in his heart. Job chapter 3, 25 tells us. And then all of a sudden the evil come crashing down upon him. But it wasn't until he actually turned around and started to pray for his friends, even those that were deriding him, that his own captivity was turned around. Now, Paul, many times he prayed for all his converts. You know, we saw the lessons, Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. You know, Paul said, look, yeah, I pray for you guys, you know, always praying for them, you know, knowing that, look, they needed to be held up in prayer. He knew it. And he was always, you know, praying for them. You know, I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for you guys that, you know, your love may abound, that you may abound more in the knowledge and so on. And he prayed. He was always praying for them. That's Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Also, he prayed for them again you know, the people, that was the people in Philippi, also the people at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1. He loved those people at Ephesus too. Ephesians chapter 1, you know, he prayed for them. He said, look, I pray for you and so on, you know, that God may grant you all these things. And what were they praying? They were praying for. It wasn't just always only physical protection. They were praying also even for their spiritual enablement and their spiritual growth. You know, he said, look, from verses 15 through about 18, you know, when I heard of your faith in love, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may grant unto you spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the saints are, and to understand the exceeding greatness of his power towards God, you know, and so forth. You know, and always praying, you know, for those believers, you know, that the Lord had put in his charge. The book of same Ephesians chapter 3, saying the same thing, like, you know, from about verse 14 through 19, same thing, you know, praying for them, praying, he said, look, always praying for you guys, you know, pray for their wisdom, pray for God to give them this and that, you know, pray that, you know, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, say, look, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and so forth, that he will grant you, according to his riches and glory, be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being grounded and rooted in love may comprehend. I mean, always praying for those things. And Paul himself, always asking for prayer. I said, pray for us. He would always say that. You know, so the lesson here today is that, look, we need to pray more, you know, for one another. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, you know, Paul himself, here are all the places where he asked for prayer. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, Paul asked for prayer. He said, pray for us. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, same thing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, same thing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, same thing. And I'm going through it very quickly because I want to spend more time in prayer. But, you know, let me read some of it to you in case you're not writing it down. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. So, you know, we need to covet prayers too. You know, I mean, nobody can go through this. Jesus even one time, he needed prayers. You know, there's nobody that can, there's no island in this thing, ladies and gentlemen. There is nobody that can do it by themselves without prayer of others. Jesus needed prayer. And even times when Jesus was praying and he was weak, the angel of the Lord came and strengthened him. I mean, we need these things. Jesus asked his disciples, three of them, pray with me. You know, he needed it, but they didn't. They slept. It took him three times as long as if they would have prayed. You know, maybe if they would have prayed instead of going back and forth three times, they would have got it 1 hour. He would have got it done. But because they didn't pray, it took him three times as long. Look, Jesus needed it. That means we need it even more badly. You know, if Jesus could need it. We need prayer from, you know, one another and towards one another. You know, and, you know, Paul was always, he cherished it. He knew it, you know. And, you know, he said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He was coveting their prayers. Pray for me that I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea and all the places that he's going. He was always asking for prayer. Pray for me, he said. Well, you know, pray for your leaders also. You know, we need it. I need the prayers, you know, pray for me as well as I pray for you. We all need to pray for one another. You know, Paul again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, always asking for prayer. You know, he never thought that, oh, well, you know, I'm this and that and I don't need prayers. You know, no, you know, he always said that we should pray for one another. He said, look, we want you to continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving without praying also for us. You know, that God will open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of God for which I'm also in bonds. Pray for me, he said, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. always asking for prayer. And, you know, I'm doing the same thing today, asking you for your prayers. We pray for one another. We pray. Leaders pray for the flock. The flock pray for their leaders. We do it all together. This is how it is supposed to be. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. You know, Paul again asking for prayers. I mean, how many times is he going to do it? In all his epistles, he would find a way somehow to ask for prayers. This one clearly, brethren, pray for us. You know, that's that verse. Very simple verse, but that's what he said. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Same thing. You know, calling out prayer. You know, he said, look, finally, brethren, pray for us. And the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as this and so on. So always, you know, asking for prayer. Jesus himself, you know, prayed for all of us already. You know, in John chapter 17, verse 15, we only read the, you know, one verse, but if you read it from verse 15 down through 21, you will see that he prayed not just, you know, for God to protect those people that he had at the time, but he prayed for all of us down through the ages. He did too, because, you know, the way he prayed that prayer, he covered us as well. He said, look, I pray not for these alone. Hallelujah. But I pray for even those who later on will hear of me through their word, that they all may be, and he started to pray the things that were passionate in his heart and that he was passionate about, uppermost in his heart. You know, so we need to also be praying for one another, just like Jesus prayed for us. And he's still today, till this day, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. We're told that till this day, we have a high priest over the house of God. Well, we know that is Jesus the righteous, that he's still making intercessions for us, even till this day. Praise the Lord. You know, it's amazing that, you know, the Lord would put such examples in the Bible. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him, because he's a priest that doesn't die, liveth forever, you know, liveth ever to make intercession for them, which means, you know, he's still doing it. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, what I've tried to do here is present the need for prayer, the need to cover one another in prayer. Praise the Lord. We must cover one another in prayer. In the book of Isaiah chapter 63, you know, and verse 5, we need to cover our leaders also in prayer. The leaders must cover their flock in prayer, and vice versa. The people must also cover their leaders in prayer. We got to cover one another. Praise the Lord. You know, here's what he say, Isaiah chapter 63, verse 5. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Well, therefore, my own arm brought salvation to me, and my fury, it upheld me. What does upholding mean? Well, uphold your leaders, uphold one another. You know, like Aaron and Hur upheld Moses' hands. You know, but, you know, ultimately, when there is none to help, well, God is not happy about it. So that's our call to prayer today. We're sounding the clarion call. We need to be more prayerful. We need to be much more vigilant. But I want us to pray that the Lord will release the eyes, those eyes of the Lord that are going to and fro in 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. Let them come upon us, that we may be able to see. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it's not everybody. Not everybody can handle it. We've talked about that the last few days. You know, some people can't handle it, you know, but those that can handle it, well, you know, they are the ones that must do it. Praise the Lord. And we must do it in such a way that we should not relent. You know, we must never relent. And there are some that are called for that. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace night or day. Ye that make mention of the Lord. I mean, those are, you know, some of them call themselves prayer warriors, intercessors, whatever. You know, if you make mention of the Lord, God has called you into that. Keep not silence and give him no rest until he establish and make Jerusalem a praise. Well, that's Jerusalem, but we are the new Jerusalem. We are come unto heavenly Mount Zion. We're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. We see that we are actually, you know, the literal Jerusalem is there, but there is also a spiritual expanded Zion. Zion is Jerusalem and so forth, that, you know, we are told that that's where we are, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, that's where we are now. You are called, you say, we are not called unto this, you know, local place anymore. We are called to heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, you know, Hebrews 12 and 22, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are risen in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Even those who have gone, they are with us. And the Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, you know. So, you know, when we see prayers for Jerusalem in the Bible, it also means prayers for the body of Christ, you know. So those who are in that ministry, you know, don't give the Lord any rest. And that means don't quit. Don't quit from your post. You know, stay right there. And we need more of that. The greatest ministry that we know of in the church is the ministry of intercession. And they are not there to be known, but they're the force behind the church. They're the one that hold up that force field. They're the ones that hold up the arms of Moses, because when those arms are down, it's over and battle is being lost. But they got to get in there and prop those things up. Hallelujah. You know, so we're going to pray right now. I'm going to turn this thing right now into prayers. The first thing that we're going to pray is that, well, just like Samuel said, he said, the Lord forbid that I should sin in not praying enough for the people of God. Well, perhaps some of us are guilty of that. You know, we haven't prayed enough for the body of Christ. And there are some people that pray a lot, but all they pray about is for their own family. My children, my husband, my this, my that, you know, my wife, my son. Well, that's good, but that's not good enough. You know, we have to see ourselves as one family. You know, according to Ephesians 3 and 15, says the whole family in heaven is named after the name of Christ. It's one single family. You know, we must recognize that. And so we need to pray more for the body of Christ. You know, pray for your families. That's important. You must do that. But expand your prayers to cover, you know, cover the body of Christ. I want you to see the way this is written in the King James in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15. I don't know how it's written in other versions. But in the King James, he said, look, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Ephesians 3:14, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So it's putting in like a single family. He didn't say all the families in heaven and in earth. You just make it one whole family. That's a family of the body of Christ. We're one, you know, so we got to pray more now. So according to the statement and, you know, and declaration of Samuel, we're going to use that in prayer, first of all, that the Lord should forgive us of this error in judgment if we have not prayed enough for the people of God. For Samuel chapter 12, verses 23 to 24. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for God's people. So it's a sin when we don't pray for God's people. That's number one. And then number two, we need to pray that God will give us the garment of prayer to be more prayerful. And then number three, we want to pray. There are some people, you know, that are already in, not everybody is instructed to do this, but, you know, we should do the best we can. But some people have a mantle to do stronger prayers. We call them prayer warriors and so forth, you know. But more importantly, we're praying for the eye of the eagle. Hallelujah. That he will reveal these things. You can see it all. And those eyes of the Lord that are running to and fro should reveal things to us so that we can foresee the evil and we can hide himself, ourselves. But whether we see or not, we know there's always evil out there. Now, except the Lord build the house, Psalm 127, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen wake in vain. But the Lord can keep the city by showing us, he blow the trumpet. You know, that's what the watchmen do. When they are on the walls, you know, watchmen on the walls. When they see evil coming, they blow the trumpet, but they must blow it in a certain way and not blow an uncertain sound so that everybody can prepare. Well, the Lord is watching and he can show the watchers. Hallelujah. Will you watch with me, saith the Lord. He asked the disciples, watch with me an hour, but they didn't. You know, and Jesus came back and he was disappointed. Second time, watch with me. They couldn't do it. Third time, watch with me. They couldn't do it. Finally, they said, well, sleep on now, but I tell you, you better watch except you fall into temptation. Evil is coming, but you need to be more prayerful. So will you watch with me now, saith the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead this segment in prayer. And as I call out each section, I want us to pray. I'll call out the section of prayer and we can pray. You know, and for, but first, before I do that, let me round up this session by saying, Lord, we thank you for calling us to prayer. We give you the glory and the praise. Thank you because we are needed. You know, God needs us on that wall. Hallelujah. We are needed on that wall and we need to stand a watch. And watch in prayer. Be instant in prayer. We are commanded. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Grant us that, you know, the garment, the anointing of prayer. And those who are called particularly to this role, more so, that they will not relent. That we will not spend all our energy praying only for ourselves. You know, got to pray for others. Hallelujah. Got to bear one another's burdens, the scripture says. So, Lord, we thank you for leading us and speaking to us and calling on us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.